Yep.
Hello, welcome everyone. Welcome aboard. We'll take a few minutes. Please like and share. Welcome to David Johnson Ministries International and Destiny Generation Church, depending on which channel you're on. For Worship and Wisdom Wednesdays, I'm Pastor David Johnson, and my darling bride, Lady Nedra, is right there. My arm candy. I'm happy. We're just giving folks some time to get in.
Go ahead, you have some news to talk
about. We just want to thank and praise God for just being so awesome to carry us through the storms today, the traffic, the rain, a long day's work. Lord, we praise you for bringing us through. We thank you for the opportunity to give you praise this evening, to share in your worship and your wisdom in our midweek time frame. So we just thank you and praise you as we continue to lift up your name this day.
Please like and share, invite other people in. Thank you for all those that are in the Zoom meeting. If you're in the Zoom meeting, give us an amen in the chat. Jones, good to see you, bro.
We just never know what people are going through today. We just want to give a praise report for the young man yesterday who was on top of a building waiting to jump off, but they were able to talk him down. We give all praise and honor and glory to God for intervening as we pray for this young man to come off the ledge. And if you are tuning in to this broadcast, and you may be on your own type of ledge, so we just thank you and praise you right now for restoration of minds. Restoration of the mind, Lord, that your spirit comes in and changes the mind. We thank you for it today.
This with me. Heavenly Father, your word says, if I lack wisdom, I should ask you, in faith, without wavering, and that you would give it liberally, without fault finding. I ask now
for that wisdom,
and I believe
that I receive it.
And I say, with my Lord Jesus,
that I must be about
my Father's business.
Thank you
for giving me
your insight
into my kingdom success.
In Jesus' name,
I pray expecting.
Amen.
Now say this with me. I am a believer.
I am a believer
of the Word of God.
I am an epistle
of the Spirit of God.
I am a disciple
of the Son of God.
I am a finder
of the destiny path of God
for my life.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
We're continuing on our series. This is actually part 6. Put that amen in the chat if you're in agreeing with us. Wherever you are, put it in the chat and also give us a shout out. Let us know where you're watching from. We're continuing on in our series. Let me get to sharing now. I am hitting share. Detroit, Michigan in the house. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. All right. Got that there. Okay. So here we are, Worship and Wisdom Wednesdays. Again, please take the time to follow us in all of your social media. Wherever you are, you can see us there at David Johnson Ministries or Destiny Generation Church. We just want you to stay connected with us and know where we are. We are in our series. This is actually part 6 of our series on the vitality of vision. Our scripture that we've been using, and again, power principles in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 29:18. In the King David Version, that means this is an interpretive version of me, but it is based on what the scripture actually says. Where there is no collective vision of a preferred future, self-control in the present becomes difficult. But the person who makes daily decisions in line with their desired destiny shall achieve happiness and success. And so we've talked about that. So previously we've talked, spent time about the relationship of the visionary, the vision and the committed people. We've also talked about the importance of unity, collective confession and joint imagination. We've shared important how important it is to have the guidance of the Holy Spirit and to practice faith confessions, to willingness to start small with excellence and trusting the law of process. Last week, we looked at visionary leadership from the life of one of the greats, the Apostle Paul, and we had 8 points, but I'm actually going to give you 5 of them today that I just want to review. And if you want the detail and you weren't here last time, please go back and watch that. And get caught up if you missed it. We want it out there so you can take notes and go back and do some study on it and ask questions. And I definitely go back and read all of the chats and so on as my schedule permits. So we said, recognize that the critical term in either self-confidence and self-consciousness is self. And the problem with leadership based on self is just not reliable. It's not about your resume, that's where you get your self-confidence from, or your rap sheet, that's where you get your self-consciousness from. But it's about right position through relationship, that I may know him and be found in him, Paul said, and righteous pursuit based on resurrection power, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Recognize that the life of a visionary leadership is simultaneously a life of pain and power. He said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. And so he recognized that both of those were necessary for him to go forward. Understand that visionary leadership is life, liberty, and the pursuit. It is life in the sense that you are alive to God. You are alive in Christ. You have liberty. You're not chained to the past. You're not chained to other people's expectation. You are free from everything so that you can pursue the one thing that God created you for. And that's life, liberty, or freedom, and then the pursuit of the visionary assignment that God has given you. And then we said visionary leadership is action and activity to apprehend your assignment to receive your awards. I press towards the mark for the prize. All right, so that's where we were in our last week's session. Okay, as we talked about the Apostle Paul and his life of visionary leadership, we must understand that God sometimes uses a combination of spiritual and natural events, the spiritual events being visions, the natural experiences being dreams, to convey important life truths to people. In several of our sessions, we talked about how Paul testified of the open vision he had on the Damascus Road when he was Saul the Pharisee that persecuted Christians. That one supernatural encounter, through that one supernatural encounter, Jesus changed the trajectory of Paul's entire life. We'll look at that and other experiences. Some of them, of these vision or dream experiences occurred when people are awake and see something that other people cannot see around them, but that is clearly visible to their natural and or their spiritual eyes. Other times they were asleep, and in this unconscious state, God often finds it easier in hours. We'll look at a scripture that we looked at previously with a different interpretation, since multiple things in scripture can all be true at the same time. This scripture is talking about how the Holy Spirit communicates to us through visions and dreams. The passage of scripture occurs in Acts chapter 2. It is the account of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. It was accompanied by a supernatural language, traditionally called speaking in other tongues. People from different countries heard, each one in his own language, the wonderful works of God. Some of the crowd hearing them said that they were just drunks speaking out. Then Peter spoke up and said, Acts 2, 14 through 18, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men and Jew, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only 9 a.m. or the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. You see that in red. Your old men shall dream dreams. And that's also in red. So that's what we're focusing on, visions and dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Here we see in verse 17 and 18 that a consequence of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Before I taught that vision is given to young men because they will live to fulfill it, dreams to older men because they are talking about future generation and things that may not occur in their lifetime. An example of that would be the old man Simeon, who waited in the temple because he had a word from God that he would not die until the Christ child was born. Then he told Mary stuff about what would happen to him later, that Simeon would not live to see, but that she would live to see when her son was crucified on the cross. Sometimes God has you praying things that will be fulfilled long after you have gone to your heavenly reward. Pray on. Your descendants are depending on you. As an African American, I certainly am grateful for my forefathers who prayed for its freedoms that I live in that they never experienced. Not yet. Okay. So while that is definitely true that visions and dreams can be, you know, sometimes it's a vision that I live out, but there's also this thing of visions and dreams being, vision being something that happens in ecstatic state when you are awake, and dreams being something that God uses when you are asleep, right? So a nuance of scripture is that we must understand the language of the Holy Spirit in visions and dreams, that the Holy Spirit will communicate to us according to this passage of scripture in Acts chapter 2, and also the same passage which was referred to from Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament, that God speaks, or the Holy Spirit has a language that he communicates to you in visions and dreams, but it can sometimes be coded, and we're going to explain that to you as well today. We gave you the Hebrew definition of vision, and that's what I want to review here today and just remind you. It's the Hebrew word chazon. It means a vision, but notice it says in the 1A, a vision in an ecstatic state. We're going to talk about the ecstatic state, meaning that sometimes God gets you in a mind-altering thing so that he can show you something that you would not normally see. But visions don't just happen in the daytime. Sometimes they're night visions, and sometimes dreams are considered night visions, that you're somewhere in that between being awake and being asleep. Sometimes you're in your natural subconscious sleep, and then God interrupts in that. And you see that in scripture going all the way back to Joseph and his dreams, Jacob dreaming and seeing the angels ascending and descending. Like that's just a common thing about scripture. So chazon is the word. The word chazon has the root word chazah, which a vision, which means to see, to perceive, to look, to behold, to prophesy, to provide, to see as a seer in an ecstatic, remember vision is ecstasy, in an ecstatic state, meaning that you are in some kind of supernatural spiritual state. The book of Revelation was written, John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and I saw something, and the Lord said, come up here and I'll show you things to come. So he was having visions. He was fully awake, but he was having a vision. He wasn't asleep. He turned around and he saw all of these things about the resurrected Lord Jesus as in his kingly and priestly ministry. It's a primitive word, root word chazah, for the word chazon, which means to gaze at, to mentally perceive, to specifically have a vision of. I like the one that says to see as a seer. Some people not only just have visions because of what God wants to do in their lives, some of you have a ministry assignment where you are, we read this in Acts 2, that where you are to prophesy, where you are to tell or speak forth the will and a vision of God of what you have seen, just like Moses did and just like the prophets of old. You can have the same kind of thing in your day. And so you have to have an ability to see as a seer. A seer is a person, is not everybody has eyes so they can see, but a seer is another name for somebody who has a prophetic call of God on their life. Now, we looked at these words related to vision, but we didn't look at the word for dream before. So I said, well, let me go back and let's do some study on that. Key definition of dream is the word kalam, a primitive root meaning to properly, to bind firmly, that is by implication to make plump. And it's really talking about how you become, when you fall asleep, you're just a lump of clay, right? In the figure of dumbness, because when you're asleep, your oral activity, other than snoring, that's what Nedra would say about Pastor David, it kind of goes away, but you're not speaking in an audible language, and that's going to be key, because part of the reason that God speaks to you in dreams is sometimes he can't get a word in edgewise when you're awake, okay? So that definition there is very important. So a key statement that God gave me here is God uses these dream times to separate you from your own thoughts and words. And if you're sensitive, to cause his thoughts and words to flow down on you like water. Pastor David, where did you get that from? I looked at the word chazon, kalam, and did the Hebrew word pictures and just meditated on that. And that's literally kind of the word picture that's built in the letters, the Hebrew letters of chalam. Now let's look at that. That's my picture of it, but let's look at it from scripture. Job 33:14-18 says, for God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, that's that lump, that's you being bound, then he opens the ears of men to seal their instruction. All right, he's opening their ears because their mouth is shut. In verse 17, in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man, he keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing with the sword. Wow, sometimes even God can't get a word in edgewise. He takes advantage of your altered sleep state to warn you of things that he couldn't tell you when you were awake. Isaiah 55:8-11 is where his words come down like water. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's words and ways that are counter to our words and ways are sometimes conveyed to us like water in our dreams. But we have to ensure we turn off the phones and the TV and the background music if we want to hear from God reliably in these alternative states. Don't spend all night, watching some scary movie and going to bed thinking you're going to hear a word from God. You're going to hear a word from Hollywood, okay? Notice that both of the words vision and dream describe ecstatic states or alternate realities. that allows you to see things that are not naturally perceivable in your normal state of mind. The burning bush of Moses comes to mind, or Ezekiel seeing a wheel in the middle of a wheel, way up in the middle of the air, as the Negro spiritual declares. It should be noted that the devil has counterfeit visionary and dream experiences as well. Some of the devils, to get you in an ecstatic state, he uses drugs like ecstasy, right? That is why the Greek word for witchcraft in Paul's listing of the works of the flesh in Galatians 5:20, the word witchcraft is the word pharmakia, where we get the English word pharmacy, because in their ancient temples, they would, the way that some people who say that it's for health and they're using what they call medical marijuana to just get high and to create an alternative state, or drugs or drunkenness or whatever. God don't want you to have to use those things. He wants to give you his own visionary experience. All right. While we are open, now remember, our point to that last statement is that Satan has ways of giving visions and dreams too. So while we are open to the Holy Spirit in visions and dreams, which is a valid last day ministry, we also have to approach this realm with caution, as the enemy will try to imitate the Spirit of God and deceive others. Let's look at that in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any of the gospel to you, then we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. First John, okay, so we have to be careful as we enter the spirit realm, not to the point that we don't enter it, but that we validate against the written word of God anything we believe is of God. The word of God and the spirit of God are one. First John 4, 1 through 3 says it this way, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. If an angel comes to me, you're going to have to authenticate. Okay? I got a word from God. Shh, shh. Okay? Before you start giving me any messages, who is Jesus Christ? Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh or no? Right? That's why there's a lot of prophecies that says, or a lot of religions that say, we believe that there was a Jesus, he was a good man, but he's not the Christ, he's not this and that. Listen, you are Antichrist, and I don't want to listen to nothing else you got to say. All right? Fact check me, baby. Listen, the reason that I put all of these notes and all of these details in here is so you can fact check whether or not I'm true or false. Anybody that's dealing in truth, don't mind you fact checking, okay? Because you want to authenticate, you know, on the phone they have two-factor authentication. They make you, okay, give me another way for me to verify that this is from the person who I think it is, not some AI person that's telling me that my loved one is in a foreign country and being held for ransom so he can empty out my account. No, I need to know this is from God. Test truth, okay? Test truth. Go through two-factor authentication. Check what you hear against the word of God you know. Paul said, if I have given you true gospel, so if another gospel come, I'm not moving. Now, listen, sometimes I just don't know yet, but God gives me time to authenticate because he wants me to not be in error. So he's not going to tell me something so strange that I don't have time to figure it out. The problem with God is when I know it's God, I know it's him, but then I'm disobedient. Then you're in trouble with God. Now that we've laid down the precept of true and false visions and dreams, let's give examples of people who flowed in the Holy Spirit language where God spoke to them in visions and dreams. We talked about the Apostle Paul and his Damascus experience. That occurred in Acts chapter 9, but he explained it in fuller detail in Acts 26. So let's look at that. Acts 26, 13 through 19. At midday, O king, he's speaking to King Agrippa. He's testifying in a trial. Along the road, I saw a light from heaven. He's walking along the road, so he's awake, and he sees something brighter than the sun shining around me and those who journey with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. In the King David version, he's saying, listen, man, your arms are too short to box with God. You better watch, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's what 14 is saying. Verse 15, so I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Interesting, he had never hit Jesus, but when he hit the body of Jesus, the body of Christ, which believers are, Jesus took it personally. How you treat his people is how you treat him. Now look at verse 16, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom now I send you. Two things on this. Vision, we gave you the definition. Vision is the picture of purpose. I have appeared to you. I've given you a vision for this purpose. And I'm going to appear to you in the future and reveal more to you. That's why we say vision is the progressive picture of purpose. Said that before, just to reiterate. Another point, because some of you that are attracted to my teaching ministry, some of you have a teaching assignment. Verse 17, as a minister, is something that I consider very important. It's something that the Lord really revealed to me on the day that I was being prepared to be ordained in ministry. And it says, I will deliver you from the people to whom now I send you. God has to deliver you from the people that he sends you to. Sometimes we want everybody to want us the way we want to help them. And we can get to the point where I can either need the people or lead the people, but I can't do both. God has to deliver me from people he's sending me to. In other words, if I get to the point where me obeying God is subject to the opinions of people, then they will be leading me and I can't lead them. He has to get my heart right so that I am submitted to him to serve them. I don't serve them and ask him to just put a cosign on it. I serve him, and out of service to him, I serve the them, the yous. But that thing about putting that in the right order is a critical thing when you're called to ministry, because Jesus has said, listen, I'm going to tell you the truth if all of you walk away. And people walked away from him. And if he hadn't been delivered from him, he would have chased people down to get them back when God had, he had told them what God had for them to say. Verse 18, to open their eyes, he said, I'm going to deliver you from the people. I'm sending you to those people to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Write that in the chat. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Make that confession over yourself. Whatever vision God shows you from heaven, I am not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I'm living my life according to vision. Make that confession. Put that in the chat. That I'm committed to the vision of God that God has for me. Purpose is not vision. The vision is purpose in pictures. Why? Because a picture is worth a thousand words. It's one thing to have words written, but there's something about visual learning and visual stimulation. Vivid imagery is motivational. That's why we have museums full of art. That's why Hollywood and movies and all those things are there, because something about imagery changes us on the inside. So purpose is vision is purpose in pictures. But for it to be purpose, it must be the right words. And for it to be vision, it must be the right picture. That's why God never wants you to run off until you authenticate both the words and the picture. All right. A key point of vision and purpose is that you don't get it all initially, that they are both progressive, because not because God changes his mind, but because he reveals it to you as you grow and obey. Another great example of the power of vision is Acts chapter 10. I'm going to read through this one. This one is the account of Peter and Cornelius both getting vision and what God did for them there. There was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. So he's a Roman soldier with the full regalia. He's a centurion, which means he leads a squadron of 100 soldiers. A devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms to the people and prayed. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not moved on. Thank you. Who prayed to God always. Verse 3. And in the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Send men to Joppa, send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He'll tell you what you must do. Angel who spoke to him departed. Cornelius called two of his servants and the devout soldier, told him what happened. They went to see Peter. Peter, verse 9, says he was up. He went up on a housetop to pray at about the sixth hour or noon. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. The Greek word there for trance is ecstasis, where we get the word ecstasy. So he was in an alternate spiritual state that was induced by the Spirit of God, and saw heaven open, an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him, let down in the earth, had all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have neither eaten anything common or unclean. The voice spoke to him and answered a second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. Now Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant. Behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose name was Peter, was there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius. He said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason did you come? And he said, Cornelius, the centurion, is a just man, fears God, good reputation among Jewish people, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me in a vision that I should not call any man common or unclean. So God uses the vision to open Peter's heart to a direction that was counter to his tradition. With this newfound truth, Peter courageously steps into a situation that he would have avoided. Then he makes a statement that is a major multicultural manifesto that eliminates all racial and religious prejudice. It is a text that you should highlight, underline, and never forget. Look at it. Acts 10, verses 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. I like the King James. It says, God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted of him. If you reverence God and you walk right, no matter what country, what color you are, God accepts you. Like, that's a big, big deal. Like, all of the prejudice, and there's a whole bunch of it, all mixed in all of the political stuff that's happening. But I don't care what folks say. God is no respecter of persons. I got it in the Bible. I don't care what your politics is. If I respect God and I walk in righteousness, he will accept me. All right? Now, this is the first time as Peter is speaking, he is preaching for the first time to non-Jewish people. All the apostles before them, when they would go, they said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. They thought they were going to find Jewish people in all these places and preach to them. Even Paul, when he would go into his missionary journeys, would find a synagogue, a place where Jewish people gathered to preach Christ to them. Peter here speaks to Gentiles, and he gives a message. I'm skipping it for the sake of time, but look at verse. But while he's preaching to these non-Jewish people, they get baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, just like the Jewish people did. While Peter was speaking, verse 44, these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, the Jewish people who believed, were astonished. They were surprised, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the non-Jewish people, or the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. This was a pivotal moment that marked a major development of the faith. Non-Jewish believers who had even been baptized with water spoke with other tongues. The door to the Gentiles was open. Glory to God. We've seen here three visions, Peter, Paul, and Cornelius, and how they opened people to direction they didn't have before. It should be noted that while Peter had a vision of potential food, it really wasn't about food. Okay? So key statement, visions and dreams always require some level of prayer, meditation, and interpretation. Visions and dreams always require some level of prayer, meditation, and interpretation. Okay, write that. Prayer, meditation, and interpretation. Prayer, meditation, and interpretation. Put that in the chat. When you get a vision and dream, make sure you take time to understand what God is saying to you. Peter was seeing something that was potential roadkill or food that he would normally not have eaten because it was not halal or clean from a Jewish perspective. And he is now being encouraged to eat it. But that was just to get him to the point where he would be open to go to a non-Jewish person's house. The vision was just opening him up. Now, that does tell you that he thought about non-Jewish people the way he thought about non-Jewish accepted food. So that tells you his low opinion of non-Jewish people. But God said, that may be how you think about them, but I think about them something different. And he used that vision to unlock that. So then what do you do when you, as you're working through your prayer, meditation, and interpretation, take time when you have visionary and dream experiences to document them and even review them with more mature believers if you have concern about misinterpretation. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. Make sure you take the time to get those things. Now, that was vision. So we saw three examples of visions. Now we're going to talk about dreams, things that happen in that sleep state that we talked about Job, and where God redirects people in a certain way. Okay. The first one, several dream experiences occurred around the birth of Jesus. Now let's look at that. Matthew 1:18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded. His mind was talking to him. Was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So when his mind was quiet, now God speaks, or speaks to an angel, but an angel didn't speak to him in person like it spoke to, like Gabriel spoke to Mary. This angel came to Joseph in a dream. saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Notice the scripture was clear to authenticate the dream of Joseph with Old Testament scripture. So he has a dream, and then they quote a passage of scripture from the book of Isaiah to authenticate. That's why, so I have some dreams, I can believe it can be all kinds of things, but I want to make sure that it aligns, my interpretation of it aligns with scripture, okay? That's two-factor authentication. Notice also that the dream changed the direction in Joseph that could have derailed Jesus' destiny in terms of legitimate birth to a descendant of David and not having being subject to the stigma of fatherlessness. We go on in Matthew chapter 2 and we see the wise men, the kingmakers of the Persian Empire, coming to find the Christ child, who they believe, based on prophecies, some say go back to Daniel, would be born king of the Jews. When they told the Edomite king Herod, a descendant of Esau, who persecuted the descendants of Jacob, he was afraid. He demanded of his religious leaders that they search the scriptures and give him the prophetic location of the birth of Christ, which you know was Bethlehem. They go to worship the Christ and present him with their gifts. Now the dream part. Let's see how the dreams of both the wise men and Joseph save Jesus' life. Matthew 2, 12 through 18. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the child, his mother by night, and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Two-factor authentication. He's quoting the book of Hosea. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise man, was exceeding angry, and sent forth to put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the districts from the two years old and under, according to the time determined by the wise men. Let me see something that I missed there. Okay. Right. Yeah. So there was two dreams, right? That's what I wanted to say. There was two dreams. The first one was they were given a dream. And then, so that was the wise men's dream. Wise men. And there wasn't three of them. Stop. There's three gifts, but it was not three wise men. Stop that. That's Christmas fables. But both of their dreams collectively gave Joseph enough time to get Jesus. I was going to say to get out of Dodge. You understand that terminology, get out of Dodge. You can give me a laugh emoji if you do. But they had enough time to get him out. Imagine if Joseph would have turned over and went back to bed or overslept. Christ would have died. Okay. Even then, there was still a lot of children that did die because of what had gone through. So it was these dreams that collectively saved the life of the Christ child. All of humanity for all time and eternity hung on the responses of these dreams. And there was scripture interpretation. Okay, there are times when you have visions and dreams from God that you have to move quickly. Be careful not moving on a vision and dream from God when you have ways to authenticate it can prove fatal to you and or those you love. Though we won't go through it for the sake of time, you will find as you continue a study on visions and dreams in this same chapter of Matthew 2 that Joseph had two additional dreams that tell him when and where to return to Israel to protect the Christ child. Wow, amazing how dreams can save your life and your destiny. All right, that's what I wanted to share today. Questions, Brother Joshua, any questions in the chat for me? I know I asked the people to share some things. Any questions and thoughts for me today that they wanted me to answer in my last 8 minutes or so?
Definitely got an engagement in the chat. I will say that both on YouTube, Facebook, as well as in this chat, Zoom chat. I actually have a question, believe it or not.
Sure.
All right. So in the past, I've heard you say revelation without documentation leads to frustration, if I remember correctly. And then today you said visions and dreams almost always require some level of prayer and meditation and interpretation. So for someone who does dream at night, I'm assuming most people do, but we usually forget what we dreamed. How do you go about documenting your dreams so that you can bring them to God for prayer, meditation, interpretation? Like, how do you go about that?
Great, great question. How do you, because we lose the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember Habakkuk said, write the vision and make it plain. Sometimes, like I try to, I'm a journaler. So I always have some journal. And you've been in my library, so you've seen the stacks of journals. I keep something to write with me at all times, or I have my phone ready that when I wake up and I feel like it was something from God, that before I let it slip away, I will get up and try to either record it into a recorder or take notes right away. Not every dream is significant. It's like not like every night God gives you a spiritual dream vision. Sometimes they're natural dreams and visions. And that's why you have to discern, is it me, is it God, or is it the devil, right? But if it's God and you got any kind of sense that it is, then you should have a practice where you can quickly write them down, right? Remember the write, read, run, repeat. I write it, I read it, I spend time meditating it, praying over it, getting input from others, seeing is it from God, seeing does it witness with other more spiritual believers before I say, no, this is really something from God. And then if I do go through all of those processes and maybe it's just one witness and I get two or three, then I'll move on it. But if it's something that's like a life-threatening, changing, sometimes you have a sense in your knower that God is moving you with urgency. My mother had a dream at a time when my life was under attack, and she had to pray right then, and her prayer right then saved my life. And so she didn't have time to figure out was it God or not. She just had to pray, but her prayer was at a time when literally my life was under threat, and it would have changed and derailed my whole destiny. Is that helpful, Brother Joshua?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. We're closing the time. This was a long message. It was something that was real deep, and so I really wanted to give it and do that. Please remember, we have a vision to continue to grow our worship and Wisdom Wednesdays and to eventually launch what we call Destiny Generation Church. And so if you want to continue to partner with us, if this word is blessing to you, please consider going out to Givelify in your app store, either your Android or Apple app store. And then and you can seamlessly give to us, and you'll have statements, and we're a very reputable ministry, et cetera, and that's the way that you do that. I also want to encourage you that I am an author. I have a book called Unlocking the Heavens Through Thanksgiving. If you message me on whichever medium you're on, I'll tell you how we can ship that book to you. Or if you like the electronic version, you can buy it on Kindle. And if you're in Kindle Unlimited, it's actually free. All right. And if you get the book on Kindle, please take the time and leave a review and tell everybody how you were blessed and that Pastor David is 5 stars in Jesus' name. I'm just suggesting that, but I'm hoping that you find that it is true. Let's pray. Father, we just say thank you. We thank you for blessing us today in the things that we are sharing, your people. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, that you speak to us in visions and dreams. Now that you've given us the word and we have the foundation and know what to do with it, I'm asking that you move. You said that in these last days, young men would see visions and old men would dream dreams, that you would speak to your people and they would have the language of visions and dreams, that you would cause them to get into ecstatic states, both awake and asleep. And we saw how visions and dreams move people closer to purpose and the assignment and destiny, and even protected them. And I'm asking that you give them, these people, that same kind of visionary protection. Thank you for giving us your insight into our kingdom success. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, next week, I think I'm 100% firm that I'm going to conclude and summarize our series on vitality of vision, and I will introduce what's coming next. And I got a good one for you next. This next one's gonna change your life. I promise you. It's a life changer, and we'll open it up to you next week. All right? God bless you. See you next time.